The Bastards of Boston Baseball Podcast.
Back to Folk. Red Sox fans have longed to hear it. The Boston Red Sox are world champion. Game over, series over, and the Red Sox are world champs again.
Yes, indeed. Here it comes. Another edition of the Bastards of Boston Baseball.
Kyle Schwarber hits a moonshot that sinks the Red Sox as they lose the series to the Philadelphia Phillies. We are the Bastards of Boston Baseball. I am Chris Felico, the Italian Stallion, joined by Jeremy Schilling, the Irish Goodbye, and our newest member, Juan Liriano. I don't have a nickname for him. What's your nickname, Juan?
I'll come up with one. Give me some time.
We'll go with that for now, but... Fellas, this was a rough series, to say the least, for the offense. I mean, we only scored 5 runs, but pitching only gave up 6 runs, and we still lost. Ranger Suarez, I mean, looked pretty damn good, but I think when he got himself into a little bit of trouble there with the bases loaded, even though he got out of it, it was almost predetermined we would have to go to the bullpen a little bit earlier than we expected, which would ultimately sink us. What is your guys' thoughts?
I have a couple of thoughts. One, this team sucks to watch. We're doing the run prevention thing, but our offense is so pathetic that we can't win games when the pitching staff is doing everything they possibly can. And I complained last year about how bad the 2025 Red Sox were from a situational hitting perspective. I take it all back. That team was unbelievable. This team is worse. I don't know how it's possible, but like the stats are mind blowing. Tonight's stats are 1-11 with runners in scoring position. We can't get in a man on third with less than 2 outs in this game, late in the game. You can't get down bunts. You can't go first to third. I mean, I could just go on and on. It's pathetic.
I went into the game knowing Ranger Suarez was going to have a stellar performance. My question with this team, and it's going to be the question for every single game, is can the offense support our pitchers? And it's clear that this offense stinks. They went 1-11 with runners in scoring position. They have no power. You're bringing in guys like Yoshida from the bench. He's not going to do much of anything for you. So this team just doesn't have solutions at this point. I feel bad for the likes of Ranger Suarez. I almost feel like Garrett Crochet should take his time to come back. Because what is he coming back to? You're going to go out there, pitch 6 great innings, and your offense is going to stink. I mean, what else can you expect? Of course, I didn't like the decision to not stick with Whitlock for 2 innings. I know that he's been roughed up lately. I would rather have Whitlock go out there for the 8th as well. I mean, we're in the business of winning. This team needs to win. I'm not going to trust Samaniego in that position there against Kyle Schwarber. I don't care if it's a lefty-lefty matchup. I'm not going to trust him there. So I would probably stayed with Whitlock for 2 innings to give it to Chapman if you're going to go with Whitlock in the 7th inning. But, man, it just sucks to see our pitchers perform like this, and yet we still lose the game. So then what can we do to win games at this point?
I mean, it's all great points by both of you, but I mean, I agree, Juan. I don't know where we turn from here, because this team just refuses to score more than 3 runs. And I mean, I think they said on the broadcast we're averaging like 2.3 runs at home right now at Fenway Park, which is insane to think about, because I mean, this is a ballpark where children can score 6, 7, 8 runs. But the Red Sox can't. And, you know, Ranger, he went, 5 1/3 innings. He had 8 strikeouts, only 1 walk. I think he only got 4 hits. I mean, outside of the 5 1/3, there's really not much more you can have expected from him, especially pitching up against his old team, right? Like, there's some familiarity there on both sides. So there was the argument to be made that he should be able to do well against them. But the flip side of that is, like, they also know him as a pitcher. It could have gone the other way and they could have roughed him up. It got a little bit dicey. He got out of that bases loaded jam. But ultimately, it made us turn it over to the bullpen a little bit earlier than I think any of us had hoped. And, I mean, from there, you know, like you said, Samaniego has been pitching really well. I mean, I was singing his praises the other night. It's like, okay, this is a guy that could be a part of the solution. And I still think he might be able to. But to turn it over to him, even if it's a lefty-lefty matchup, to Schwarber in that situation, who I think hit five home runs in five games in a row going into last night, I think it was 0-for-2. And then, of course, hits a two-run shot. You knew the game was over there. Yeah, the Sox tried to make it interesting, but this offense is just pathetic. And Caleb Durbin, I want to turn it to him because you know what? The guy's not hitting, and we all know that he's not hitting. I mean, he's batting like 140 on the season. It might be even lower now after tonight. But we've been praising him for his defense and the run prevention unit. He has been at the forefront of that unit. But today just makes a silly mistake defensively where he looks to throw it to second. Meyer's nowhere close to the bag. He flinches for a second, and they get that third run. Now, I'm not saying if they don't score that third run that the Sox come back and tie. But it's a hell of a lot different being down 3-0, 3-1 versus 2-1, 2-0. What's your guys' thoughts of the defense tonight?
Yeah, so on that particular play, my problem is initially with Meyer. He wasn't at the base. And if Durbin turns to throw the ball to second base and Meyer does his job and he's waiting at the bag, then we're not even talking about the delayed throw to first. And it's funny because the very next putout was a 6-4 putout where Meyer, it was really bang, bang, and he was late to the bag again. Now, the only thing I don't know is if Meyer's playing in the first base hole, you got a signal to the left side of the infield. I'm not going to be there on a ball on the ground because I'm playing way over here. I didn't notice that. So that's the only thing I don't know. The defense, the story Ole is, it's just a compound of how bad he's been this season. That inning, that's the end of the inning if he makes the play. Instead, he Ole's it when it was a bounding ball to shortstop where if he doesn't charge it, plays it on a hop, on a big hop and makes the throw. We're not even talking about the rest of the meltdown. Now, I wanted to just touch quickly on something Juan said about the way the bullpen was handled. I personally disagree with the Whitlock going two innings. His numbers are not good. He's run into some injuries when pitching more than an inning. And Semenyega has been great. I think today was his first earned runs all year. So I have said this as long as I've been on this podcast, which originally was in 2017, you should pitch the game. You shouldn't have the days of having a seventh inning guy, an eighth inning guy, and a closer to me is dead. What you have is you pitch to those matchups. If your 2-3-4 is coming up in the eighth, Chapman should go get those outs. So I don't think Whitlock should go too, but I think if you want to pitch Samaniego against the bottom of the order and have Chapman go get out, I'm forgetting the shortstop's name, Trey Turner, Schwarber, and Harper, then I think this game might be a little bit of a different story. Chapman should have had that inning, in my opinion. Now, the part with Suarez is he gave you everything he could with the leash he was given because of the hamstring, because of the 10 or 11 days in between starts, and they handled Sonny Gray the same way on Wednesday night, is they weren't going to let him get deep into like past 80 pitches or whatever he finished that. So the fact that he was able to give you the depth he was with a limited pitch count, I think is a testament to how well he threw the ball. And he might have got through the six if it wasn't for the bases loaded situation where he had to dig in and you know have some high leverage pitches. So now, with all that said, and you can nitpick, all right, they gave up three runs or less. You should win the far majority of games where your pitching staff and your defense does mostly what it did tonight. So to me, the story is about how pathetic the offense is and how they can't put the ball in play in important times It's everything is about, in my opinion, the drive line, hit the ball in the air, you know, try to drive the ball when all you need is a fly ball with a man on third to get your 1-0 if Contreras can do that. Hit the ball to the right side with a man on second and no outs. We can't do it. We don't try. It's a significant issue, and it's not Tracy. It wasn't Cora. It's an organizational flaw that bears itself out when their complete lack of talent doesn't do what they're trying to do, which is drive the goddamn ball. So, you know, I don't think I was on in the Rays series because I was caught in a flight, but the Rays are what we want or should be as a fan base. They bunted when they needed to, and they got the bunts down. They went first to third. They stole and put pressure on the defense. This team sucks at absolutely all of it.
You know what sucks about the entire situation is that we end up kind of crushing the team despite a great performance. And I'm glad that you mentioned that, Jeremy. They only allow 3 runs. I mean, if the offense shows up the way that it should, I mean, how many chances do you want in this game to bring runners in?
11.
So come on. You had multiple opportunities to bring runs in. But it sucks because what ultimately ends up happening is we end up nitpicking. We end up nitpicking, at least for me, I end up nitpicking the Samaniego decision, right? I'm thinking maybe if you're going to bring in Whitlock in the seventh, which I disagreed with to start, I mean, throw him out there in the eighth because the margins are so small with this team. Any average batting team in the league, if you know, they're down 1 run, they're going to have a chance to come back. With this team, it just feels like the minute they're down a run or 2 runs, the game is over. At that point in the eighth inning, I felt like, well, that's it. Game over. I mean, I'm not going to trust anybody in this lineup. And to touch on Caleb Durbin, I mean, I've been done with him. In my opinion, he's a minor league player. He doesn't belong on this roster. He doesn't. You're going to hear some of the nerds talk about the defense. Oh, he's great defensively. I don't care. I mean, you're not doing anything offensively. You're no threat whatsoever. I think between IKF, Story, and Durbin, they're 3 of the worst hitters in Major League Baseball. Don't give me crap about the defense. If you're not doing anything offensively, if you look lost out there, or if you're just grounding out or flying out or popping out time and time again, I don't care about what's going on the other side because you're not helping on an entire side of the game. So I've been tapped out with Durbin from the moment they signed him, to be quite honest with you. So there's just so many problems with this team, and they're not fun to watch at all at this point. You get excited about the pitching. Great. I was excited about Ranger Suarez. I knew he was going to come in. I knew he was going to dominate. But I also knew on the other side that we weren't going to score runs. We were going to end up, you know, making this pitcher from the Phillies, who had an ERA over 5, make him look like a Cy Young winner. That's what we always do with every pitcher that is struggling in Major League Baseball. We make them look like they're the best in the league because that's how bad this offense is. It's terrible.
You add in Duran hitting 170 out of the leadoff spot, and there's not one, not two, not three holes. It's half the lineup is essentially an automatic out. And you add in the inability to hit situationally, meaning you don't need to have a base hit to have an impact swing. And this is the worst Red Sox offense I have watched in my, you know, since being watching games in 1988. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, I mean, we had 5 guys go 0-for tonight, right? I mean, that's more than half the lineup. And that doesn't even include the 2 pinch hits, which also went 0-for. I mean, you all made great points, but one, you kind of touched on something that it is sad because we are at a point now where we are nitpicking things that we shouldn't have to for a major league club. You're living and dying by every single moment, every pitch, every botch, every error. And it's like, at the end of the day, the offense should be able to overcome these things, and they just can't. And Jeremy, you made a great point. Like, with the way this roster is set up and the pitching staff, we should be the Tampa Bay Rays. In fact, we should be a better version of the Tampa Bay Rays because even the Rays at their height, I don't know if their starting rotation was as potent as this rotation has been when it doesn't even have an ace. And I agree with you, Juan. If I'm Garrett Crochet, I'm literally milking this injury for as long as humanly possible because there is no sense to come back, risk getting hurt, and costing yourself a career for an offense that is just going to give you, what, two runs if you're lucky? It's not fair. It's not realistic. It's not sustainable. So I now want to turn to Chad Tracy and even Craig Breslow. What is the next steps for the two of them? If you're Chad Tracy, what's your plan with the roster that you have, right? Because we all know it's not good enough, but let's face it, they're probably not going to add for any time. So he's got to make do. And then if you're Craig Breslow, what are you realistically going to do to fix this mess that you created?
So Chad Tracy's screwed. Okay, he's screwed for a number of reasons. Number one, the reason why he got the position is because he gave Breslow the agreement that he would put in Breslow's lineup. The problem is Breslow built such an imbalanced roster. There's no options really available for Tracy. For example, now that Roman Anthony's hurt, you pinch hit Mickey Gasper and Yoshida in the ninth inning against a guy throwing 99 in Duran. So his options were to allow Durbin to hit, which is the right move to take him out, but you're playing a 4A guy in that spot. And sure, Mickey Gasper is one of the few lefties on this roster that's hit the ball the opposite way up off the short left field wall in, I don't know how long, weeks. So it's the right move, but that's the move? Like, he's not a big leaguer either. And look, I like the player. I root for him. It would be a great story for him to have a good career, but it's pathetic. And then Yoshida, who's essentially a single or a walk, you know, fine. If you want to think outside the box and you're Chad Tracy and Yoshida's in the lineup, I might consider leading him off with no Roman Anthony in the lineup and moving Duran down because he is bad. And the frustrating part for him is that in the first inning, he hit a ball 111 miles an hour and it was right at the center fielder. So has a mix of non-competitive at-bats and really bad luck because his exit velocity has been good at times. It's just the ball's finding the glove. It's just how bad it's going. And I'm not saying he shouldn't go back to the leadoff spot, but if there's something you can do, it can't be at the bottom of the lineup. Shuffle somebody else into that leadoff spot and try to get some people on base. The problem is Yoshida's a refrigerator and can't run. So even if he leads the game off with a walk, he's not going to go first to third. You know, so what else do you do? Roman Anthony's down. There's no talent. There's nobody in the minor leagues that's anything other than a prospect. There's no one on a rehab assignment. There's literally no options available to Chad Tracy. He's absolutely screwed. Now, if I turn my attention to Breslow, Breslow has to feel the pressure here. He has really, in my opinion, no choice but to try to make a Hail Mary play to bolster the offense. What that is, I don't know. There's rumors about Mike Trout. I don't think that's a good idea, short-term or long-term. I think there's some Fernando Tatis and some other people. He has to go and think outside the box, right? And I'm not saying he's going to hit a home run like in 04 when they traded Nomar and got Orlando Cabrera and other Minkiewicz and other pieces, but you've got to think outside the box and stop holding all these prospects. Part of the issue with the 2026 Red Sox is that you hang your hat on all these prospects, the big four, then become the big three. One of them comes up, he's an absolute dumpster fire. You brought up all the kids, and guess what? They may only be prospects because none of them look like they're legitimate, big-time big leaguers. And so you have this underwhelming roster. You've sunk the value of almost every single prospect that's now on the big league level. And you haven't moved really any of your other prospects in the minor leagues. I would package them together and go overpay for young, controllable talent that has big league pedigree. Because I don't know what happened to this fan base, but sitting around waiting for every prospect, not moving prospects when most prospects don't pan out, is not working for the roster construction, as we can all hopefully agree.
Yeah, it's difficult for me to crush Chat Tracy at this point. And I was one of those that refused to crush Alex Cora because, in my opinion, Alex Cora was trying to prove a point. This roster sucks. This is what you're giving me. Oh, you want to sign or you want to trade for Caleb Durbin? That's great. I'm going to put him in the two-hole because this is your guy. This is who you wanted me to start. This is who you brought to the team to replace an Alex Bregman. I found it difficult to critique Alex Cora because I felt like he was trying to pull a point. But Chad Tracy, what else do you want the guy to do? I don't agree, of course, with still platooning Marcelo Meyer because that's exactly what's happening at this point. You're platooning the guy. You're not letting him develop. You're not letting him play. IKF is a worse hitter against left-handed pitchers than Marcelo Meyer, but yet you're starting IKF over him. That doesn't make any sense. But again, what else do you want the guy to do? This is the roster that Craig Breslow built. You can bring whoever you want as a manager. Terry Francona, whoever you want from the past, and put him on this team, and they won't be able to lift this team up because there's no talent. Now, on to Craig Breslow. I mean, my dude, time is running up. Time is running up. This is why when the whole conversation in the last episode about Mike Trout came up, I was kind of excited about it because, I mean, give me something. Give me some life. Now, on the more, I guess, realistic side of things that can actually help the team, I'm looking at Houston. I'm trying to reach out to Houston. Hey, what's up with Isak Paredes? You know, can we start those conversations again? I know there were conversations in the offseason, but I'm reaching out to Houston. What's up with Yordan Alvarez? Are you guys really just going to, you know, kind of sell at this point with Carlos Correa gone for the season? There's really nothing left for you guys. You want to sell Yordan Alvarez? I'll take him. He's a power bat that we don't currently have. So there are options out there available to help this team. The question is, does Craig Breslow have the guts to pull the move? I don't think he does. And the reason why I don't think he does is because the guys upstairs don't want him to do anything. Ultimately, those are the guys making the decisions. They want to save money, do whatever they can to build a roster that can win by not spending money. And I don't think they're going to take up on contracts. That's why I think the Mike Trout thing is a pipe dream, because they're not going to take up on that money. That's going to go against everything they've done since winning the championship. It's a dumpster fire all the way around, whether it's the manager or the GM or whoever you want to look at. It's a dumpster fire all around.
So the problem, and I agree that there's not much that Chad Tracy can do, but the problem I do have is that at the end of the day, very much like Craig Breslow, who is going to pretty much live and die by the result of this season, Chad Tracy could basically let Breslow bury his major league career as a manager pretty early if he keeps doing dumb things. Example one, Story at shortstop. At the end of the day, you're the manager. Put Marcelo Meyer at shortstop. I don't want to see Trevor Story there anymore. Defensively, he's a liability. Yeah, once in a while, he runs into a home run, and you know what? That's fine. Put him somewhere else. He'll run to his home run, whether he's playing second base, DHing, every 25 games or so. Great. Monasterio. I'm having him in the mix at third base a lot more often than Caleb Durbin. I've seen enough of Caleb Durbin, and I don't think Monasterio's defense is that much of a drop-off from Caleb Durbin. However, I think his offense is clearly an upgrade at this point, anytime he has been in. If you got to send Caleb Durbin to AAA Worcester, by all means do it. Christian Campbell. I don't even know what the hell. Is he in the witness protection program? At this point, either trade him. You boys there?
Yep, you're back.
All right, sorry. I got so heated I lost.
Trade him or, and then you cut out.
Trade him or bring him up at this point. Because, you know what, let him come up and fail. I'd rather see that than have him waste away a AAA. You sign him.
Where would you play him?
Huh?
Where would you play him?
Put him in the outfield. I mean, get him in the mix. Duran's not hitting. I mean, at this point, one of these guys should have been traded, and it's not our fault or Chad Tracy's fault. But I would get him in the mix, Jeremy, at this point, because we have nothing to lose. And that's my gripes with Chad Tracy, because there's obvious things that he can do within his power, despite what Craig Breslow wants, and he's not doing them. Now let's flip to Craig Breslow. Craig, you are going to lose your job, and you will never get one again as a vice president of baseball operations with your track record of the Boston Red Sox. If I am you, I am picking up the phone tomorrow. I am calling Houston, and I'm saying, this is what I'm giving you for Yordan Alvarez. I will give you Roman Anthony. I will give you, even if I have to throw in Franklin Arauso, though I don't think we have to, I'll give you Marcus Phillips, Jake Bennett, and a throwaway prospect. You guys, your season's over. You guys are in rebuild mode. Your core is old. Roman Anthony's on a 9-year deal, 8 left, right? That's a reasonable contract for Houston. You got Jake Bennett and Marcus Phillips, two top 10 prospects in our system as far as pitchers. And if you have to sweeten with Franklin Arias, I don't want to have to, but you already have shortstops galore and infield prospects in the pipeline. And then to your point, Jeremy, we could only hope Franklin Arias could be half of what Yordan Alvarez is. And I say the same thing to Roman Anthony. I know everyone is like, oh, I don't want to trade Roman Anthony. The kid can't stay healthy, very much like Marcelo Meyer. In fact, I'd make the argument since they've gotten to the majors, he's been more injury prone than Marcelo Meyer. And at this point, he also hasn't shown the propensity to have the offense that we all expected. He's not driving the ball out of the ballpark. As I've always said, and I continue to say, he's a singles merchant. Sure, he hits those singles 110 miles an hour, but they're singles, and we need home runs. Yordan Alvarez is the bat that we need. He's still relatively young, and he could be DH for this team for the better part of a decade. 7-8 years easily.
There isn't a player on the roster that I would not consider including for Yordan Alvarez.
I don't disagree. I said last night there's only two that I would do everything in my power to stay away from giving up, and that's Connerly Early and Peyton Tolley.
Oh my
If it God. Came down to it, Jeremy, I would do it. But I'm doing everything I can to avoid having to give them up, and I don't think you would have to. I think the package that I just offered could get something done without having to touch those names.
I mean, you can't give up that much big. Like, they're not all going. But if the Astros said, I want Connelly Early instead of, you know, somebody else, then okay. And if they want Tolley, then okay, that we'll take Connelly out. And you know, Roman Anthony and a big league middle top of the rotation guy like those two, that can reset a team, not us. And my problem.
I'll ask the question then, Jeremy. Out of the two of them, Roman Anthony's on the table. He's gone. You giving up Tolley or you giving up Early?
It's tough because going into this season, I would have said that Connelly Early is a pitcher and Tolley's a thrower. But I've watched now Tolley in what, 3 starts. I've watched him pitch way more. His approach to first versus second time through the lineup has been tremendous, where he, you know, will either get people out with his fastball and then go to cutter, sinker, second time through or vice versa. So he's working hard at it and he's becoming, you know, more of a pitcher than just a straight thrower. So I don't know. I think the ceiling is higher with Tolley. I think the floor is higher with Early. Now, with all that said and that analysis conducted, whoever the Astros want, give me Yordan Alvarez. What are we talking about? Like, these are guys that don't have – like, Crochet now with the contract, I'd want to avoid him. But if they said, give us a prospect and Crochet for Yordan Alvarez, I would do it. I would do it today. So – because at the end of the day, this program built by Breslow has a bunch of starting pitchers. Remember, Cutter Crawford's hurt and working back, and so is Houck. There's a surplus of arms. What are we going to do with all these arms? You really, you know, so if you're going to say Crochet and you reset and we're not going to win this year anyways, maybe go back out into the market in the offseason to get another ace. I don't know who's available. I haven't looked at it. But, I mean, I literally would – there's not a person on this roster that I would not give up for Yordan Alvarez.
It's hard to argue with the Roman Anthony point too, because I looked at a stat earlier today. In 100 big league at bats or big league games, sorry, he's only hit 9 home runs and 37 RBIs. So like, we were promised this big bat when he came up last season, and he hasn't been that, and he's been hurt more than he's been available. So at this point, it's hard to defend, you know, not trading away the kid. He's only 21 years old. So
he just turned 22.
Yeah. You would think that, you know, there's this big space for him to improve. But at this point, like, you know, this is a big market team, despite them not acting like they are. This is a big market team. And there is that expectation of like, we got to win now. And if your prospects or, you know, these rookies, these young guys that are coming up are not performing, at some point, like, how far are you willing to go until you have that conversation of like, I might just trade these young talents if it means that, you know, we can get somebody in here like Yordan Alvarez. As far as Peyton Tolley and Early, honestly, I'm definitely okay with trading Tolley, because I do feel like Early has more to offer. He has a bigger arsenal, despite Tolley. And of course, it's hard because, again, we're nitpicking at this point. I've been impressed with Tolley's performance this season. I love his passion for the game. But if I had to pick one, I'd have to be okay with, hey, maybe let's trade away Tolley and keep Early. But we need talent on this team. We cannot continue to roll this roster out there and expect the fans to just be okay with it. Like, when is enough enough? And if we continue to see this, I think we saw that picture of the stadium, you know, kind of half empty. That's the Boston Red Sox, and you have a stadium where you could impact the house. It's pathetic.
Well, another new Schwarber's home run just landed, and I think the chance of sell the team just finally ended for the night. Before we go into tomorrow's matchup against the Braves, you know, Jeremy, you brought up a good point that I just want to touch on 1 second. Is I never considered it Crochet. That actually might make the most sense. You get rid of a big contract as you take one on. You already have a young arsenal of pitchers ready to come up, and the staff that we have, especially giving money to Suarez, he's going to be here for the foreseeable future. Maybe that makes the most sense, and that actually probably takes some of the sting of the things you'd have to give up in addition to Crochet to make that deal get done. So I like that. But let's turn it over to tomorrow, where the Red Sox are going to Atlanta to play the hottest team in baseball in the Atlanta Braves. First in the NL East with a 30-14 record. Red Sox fifth in the AL East, 18-25. And you have Connerly Early on the mound taking on Strider. Who do you guys have?
This is a rhetorical question, Chris.
That is correct.
Okay. Sox lose. What do you want me to give you an analysis? Sure, here's my analysis. Connerly Early will go 6 innings. He'll look great. We'll play some good defense. We'll get about 8 singles, 3 walks. We'll go 0-13 with runners in scoring position, and we will lose the game 3-1, 4-2, something like that. I don't think we'll actually score. 3-0.
Yeah, there's no way on earth I'm picking the Red Sox to win this game. I mean, you mentioned it. The Braves are the hottest team in baseball right now. And we're expecting the Red Sox to go to Atlanta and beat them. There's just no way. The formula is the formula, right? As I mentioned, whether it's Peyton Tolley, whether it's Connerly Early, you're going to go into the game. They're going to give you a good start. But this offense is just not good. So probably 4-1, the game finishes, and I just there's no chance on earth. I would love to be proven wrong. There's no chance on earth that the Red Sox win this game. Give me Atlanta.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to do the same thing I always do at this point. I'm going to predict the Sox to get swept. And the truth is it's the easier pick for anything because, yeah, they're going to win generally maybe a game, a series, but it's not predictable. There's no way to really know when they're going to actually have their offense wake up and score 3 or 4 runs. And I mean, again, this is the most formidable team right now in baseball. So I do think it's realistic we get swept. I think the pitching will do well. It's just our offense is going to do nothing and their offense is going to beat the crap out of our team. Any other thoughts, gentlemen?
We suck.
Sell the team.
Well, on that note, I don't know much more we have to say. We have been the Bastards of Boston Baseball. You can find great written articles at bastardsofbostonbaseball.com on our Substack. And we sure do hope that John Henry does sell the team. I've been Chris Felico, joined by the Irish Goodbye and mi hermano, Juan Liriano. Have a great night.
Oh, wow. What